Well, can we welcome you all to our morning service here in Hebron? And we trust that the Lord will bless us as we gather together for a short while around his word today. Can we commence by turning, in our hymn books, it's on the screen before me, although, is it on the screen before me? Right, I'm just seeing myself there, I apologise. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. Standing as we sing this hymn. We turn in our Bibles this afternoon to the book of Psalms, Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his name, in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, for he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. Ending our reading in verse 15, we trust that the Lord will add with his own divine stamp of blessing and approval the public reading of his precious word. Let's all bow for prayer, please. Eternal Father in heaven, we do thank thee for these words which we have been reading together even this afternoon. How our God remembers his covenant with his chosen people. We rejoice that thou art the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, yea, the God of Israel. We thank thee that this God is our God forever and ever. Thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the day and for the hour when you made yourself known to wretched sinners such as we. When we for the very first time saw the man of Calvary and there bearing shame and scoffing rude in our place condemned he stood. Thank thee for that day and for that hour when we were engrafted into the true vine and made heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We do bless thee this afternoon that we have been able to enter into the inheritance prepared for us even from before the foundations of the earth. We do thank thee, Heavenly Father, for placing thy love upon thy people, for guiding us every step of the way in our life's journey thus far. And Lord, we pray that as we gather together, even this afternoon around thy precious word, that it might please thee to come amongst us, to make thyself known, we might have a consciousness of God in the midst, even this day. We think of our worldwide audience, those unable to physically be with us this afternoon. Lord, we pray that as the word of God would go forth, that thou would speak to their hearts and their souls. Edify the body of Christ, we pray. Grant that thou wilt build us up in our most holy faith. And if there be any who are strangers to grace and to God, we pray that this might be the very day when they'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray for the backslider, for any that might be amongst us who have grown cold of the things of God. And this afternoon finds them away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. And it's sin that has taken them to that place. Oh, how we long that thou wilt go after the backslider even today. And grant that thou wilt bring them back into the fold. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to undertake, to bless, and to use. We do pray for our pastor this afternoon, and Lord, we thank thee for his faithfulness to the blood and to the book, for his labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus, for his high and holy calling to this place. Yet, Lord, we're conscious that he is in need of our prayers this day. We ask that thou wilt draw graciously near, that he might know that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that very soon he'll be returned to us in the fellowship here. We do pray for a fresh anointing upon his ministry, and that the remaining years that thou hast given to him in this place might be the best years under God that he has served. And so, Lord, we just ask thee to be with his wife, his family circle. Grant that they might be conscious of the help of God and of the hand of God in these days. We do think of those of our brethren who are away preaching even this afternoon. We think of Jonathan in Bangor. We pray that as he ministers thy word this day, that thou wilt pour out thy spirit upon him, that he might be owned of God and used of God and blessed of God. We do think of David in Uganda. And again, Lord, we thank thee for his faithfulness to the word of truth, for his willingness to go and to minister and to labor the word of God. We pray that thou wilt bless him, give him souls for his hire this day. We think of Greg as he comes to us in the evening service here in Hebron. We pray that thou wilt bless our brother with all spiritual blessings in Christ, that as he mounts the pulpit steps later this day, he might do so with a consciousness of God upon his soul. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt come, that thou wilt make the feast. We think of Alex over in Spain and Vanessa. We do think of Armin, that thou wilt bless them, Lord, and undertake for them even this day. Be pleased to add to the church daily such as should be saved. And Lord, to thee we'll be careful to give all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. Well, can we welcome you one and all to our service of worship here in Hebron? As many of you will probably know, the Reverend Park's unable to be with us. He dodged the virus for the past 2 years, but at long last it caught up with him. And so there are a number of members of the family who unfortunately are unable to be with us today. We want to welcome those who are tuned in on sermon audio and Facebook and YouTube, and we trust that God will bless as we gather for a short while around his word today. The gospel service will take place this evening. The preacher will be Mr. Greg Gibson, one of the students in our congregation here, and a second-year student in the Whitfield College of the Bible. Please come along and support our brother. And try to make an effort to get out to that early prayer meeting. Starts at 6:15, and pray the blessing of God upon Greg this evening. Monday is the Sabbath School Teachers Prayer Meeting at 8 p.m. On Tuesday is the Youth Challenge. Please pray for the boys and girls as they gather in once more at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Wednesday is the School Management Committee. It takes place at 7:15, and it will then be followed by a committee meeting at 8 p.m. On Thursday, we have our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study at 8 p.m. We're going through the 9 fruits of the Spirit, and in the will of God, we trust that our pastor will be back with us on that occasion. Immediately after the midweek prayer meeting will be a meeting of the Kirk session. And then on Friday, we have our youth fellowship at 8 p.m. It's also the Missionary Council. It's to be held in our Dungannon congregation at 8 p.m. And then on Saturday, we have a special time of prayer that is being called by the presbytery. It's a Zoom prayer meeting. It will take place from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and everybody is welcome to join in on that Zoom prayer meeting. There will be a link sent to the Hebron WhatsApp group. That means, of course, that our open-air meeting in Ballymoney has been moved, so please note the change of time. It's going to be 2 p.m. on Saturday of this week. Please pray that the Lord might be pleased to bless the one who will break onto us the bread of life on that occasion. And then next Lord's Day, we commence with our early morning time of prayer at 8 a.m. The Sabbath school will be at 10:30 a.m. The Bible class, Mervyn's dealing with the subject In Remembrance of Me, lessons on the Lord's table. Please pray for our brother. And then the worship service, as normal, will take place at 12 noon. We're going to continue with the studies and the meditations from Mark, studying the second gospel. And in the will of the Lord, the Reverend Park will be with us on that occasion. He'll also be with us at the 7 p.m. gospel service, and again there will be a time of prayer prior to that service next Lord's Day. We want to thank you for your tithes and offerings to the work of God. Today is, of course, the building fund envelopes, which will be gathered in. And next week, in the will of the Lord, will be the Missionary Council envelopes and the school covenant support. Please remember our brother David McCauley as he serves for the month of February in the Emmanuel Mission Station out there in Uganda. These are just a few slides which have been sent through. This was a prayer meeting that was taking place, and then David had occasion to go on outreach, reaching the folks of the area with the good news of the gospel. Please also remember this dear man, Anil, from Pakistan. Our brother suffered a bleed to the brain. He had attended the Bible conference at the Carmichael School. The Reverend Park was to preach this morning, and it was ministry that was going to take place in Anil's home. But of course, he was unable to do that today, so the Reverend Joshua Moffat preached and stood in on that occasion. These are just a few of the slides that took place this morning as Joshua was sharing with them the precious word of God. And then please remember the work amongst the orphans that continues in India. Remember also those who have been added to the prayer list in recent months: Lorena from Romania, Maureen Conley, Jennifer McDermott, Margaret Carey. We understand Margaret has come out of hospital, but she's still awaiting surgery. Remember also Nigel, of course. He's been on the prayer list now for quite some time. And also Wee Harry. Harry went through his operation. We understand that he obtained an infection at one stage just after the operation. So please pray that the Lord will raise this young child to a full measure of health and of strength. And remember the sick and the needy of the fellowship. They're all on the list there, that the Lord will continue to undertake for each and for every one of them. We're going to turn to our second hymn. It's not an easy road. We are traveling to heaven. For many are the thorns on the way. It's not an easy road, but the Savior is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. Thank you. I wonder, could we turn in our Bibles this afternoon to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. Just a few verses, the first six verses of Hebrews chapter 12. This is what the apostle says under inspiration of God. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have not forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Ending our reading at verse 6, we trust that the Lord will add, with his own divine stamp of approval, the public reading of his precious word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Father in heaven, as we now turn aside to thy truth, we pray that thou wilt give help from above. Lord, you know my inability to preach the word as it ought to be preached, to present thy truth as it ought to be presented. And so, Lord, we just lay ourselves upon the altar before thee this day and pray, Lord, that thou wilt take up this vessel and grant that for these next few moments, honor and glory might be brought to the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us listening ears. Give us understanding hearts. And grant that this day we might go away from this place knowing that God was here. He spoke to my soul. And he was here to bless. For we ask these things in the Savior's name. Amen. When the Reverend Park asked me to take the service in his absence, do you know the text that immediately came to my mind was the very text that Joshua preached upon Thursday evening. The Lord hath need of him. And you know, as he turned to that portion of scripture, I turned to Tracy and I said, Joshua's just about to take my thunder. And so he did, preached on the very text, the very chapter, the very verse that the Lord had laid upon my heart. But you know, I came to the conclusion that the Lord must have had a message for somebody on Thursday evening. And so that gave me some comfort and some consolation that God was speaking to somebody in the service during the midweek. But for me, it was back to the drawing board. For me, it was a case of having to bury myself in the book that we might be able to glean what the Lord would have me share with you today. I suppose many of you have been watching the recent Winter Olympics being held there in Beijing. A few months ago, it was the Summer Olympics. They were being hosted in Tokyo. And if you're anything like what happens in our home, then perhaps you would have been observing all our athletes as they compete in the games with the great desire, the great ambition to bring the coveted gold medal back home to Britain. But you know, as I pondered upon those games, as I considered those athletes and their commitment and their dedication and their enthusiasm, my thoughts and attentions were turned to this very chapter in the book of Hebrews and to just three words that we read in verse 1. For we read these words, "Therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Watch this. "And let us run." Remember, Paul is writing to the believing church. It's been the great blessing of both Mervyn and myself to have the honor under God to take the Bible class month about here in Hebron. In the month of January, we were dealing with the doctrine of personal devotion. I wonder, folks, do we know anything of that in our lives? We should do. As born-again believers, there should be that special time on a daily basis devoted unto the reading of God's word and unto coming before Him in the attitude of prayer. We considered our personal Bible study and meditation, how essential it is for us to bury ourselves in this book on a daily basis. We considered our prayer life, how essential it is for us to come on a regular basis each day at a regular time to a regular place to visit the God of heaven, to have an audience with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to enter into His immediate presence and to tell Him things that we're unable to tell anybody else in this known world. We shared with our young people how if we're reading the Word, if we're seeking the Lord, then there should be an outflowing of God's grace in the lives that we live, our personal walk and our testimony. We took time to look at our consecrated service before God. We noted that when we're saved, when we're born again, when we're engrafted into the true vine, then we are saved to serve. Man's chief end, we considered, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It's no longer my will that matters, it's His will. It's no longer my ways that matter, it's His ways. We become recipients of the Great Commission that we should go into all the world and take the glorious good news of the gospel to a lost and perishing world. And then we concluded that once we've put all these building blocks in place, our prayer life is right, our Bible study and meditation is right, our personal walk and testimony is right, our consecrated service is right. It's then that we shared with our young people. It's then that, and only then, that the battle really begins. And it's the battle for your heart and soul and for mine. It's the battle for my mind and my conscience, my soul and my life. We noted that it's not fought here in the fellowship, this battle. But folks, it's fought when you and I go home. When you and I are in the workplace, and the battle isn't without, the battle is the enemy within. And it's called sin. You know, the biggest problem to the children of God serving him in faithfulness and truth is dealing with sin in our own lives. Or we can try to blame somebody else for our failures in the field of Christian service. But no matter what the excuse is that we might use, friends, the enemy is housed within. I want us this morning to consider the race that God sets before you and I when we're born of his Spirit and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. I want us to evaluate our personal performance before God as we run the race that the Bible says God sets before each and every one of us. I want us to ask ourselves some hard questions this morning. Do we discern that we have lost our zeal for the Lord Jesus? I want us to ask ourselves the questions. Do we still have the willpower? Do we still have the enthusiasm? Do we still have the drive that once we first had when we fell in love with the Savior of sinners? Or have we grown weary in this race? Have we become complacent and indifferent? Could I dare to ask the question this morning? Do you find yourself simply giving up in the race that God has set before you? Friends, I want us to be honest this morning. You see, it's God that sets the standard. And it's he that puts you and I into this race. But folks, it's you and I that need to run the race for him. Christian life, as we read through the scriptures, is oftentimes aligned to, within the Word of God, with sporting metaphors. We speak of the child of God climbing, sometimes the child of God wrestling, sometimes the child of God fighting, and on this occasion, the child of God running. So how are we faring in the race that we are called upon to run for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let us run with patience, Paul says, the race that is set before us. I'm sure you're in the same situation as me, that when I look back upon my life, there have been untold circumstances, untold times when I have failed the Lord. When my personal performance for him has been obsolete. Perhaps we look back over the race that we have run, and all as we can recall is those times that we floundered, and those times that we failed, and those times that we fell when we ran for him. When I look back on my life, I see there is more of the road behind than there is before me. But you know, every day is bringing me nearer my finishing line for him. Wouldn't it be great to finish for God in a blaze of glory? Every day brings us nearer to that final day when we'll stand in his presence. I was sharing a few of these thoughts most recently at a funeral service in Liverpool. Funeral service of a dear lady. She'd lived to 93 years of age. That was some race. I was sharing with the family how God has a blueprint for all of our lives. And nothing will happen outside of his permissible will. I was sharing with the family how it behoves us to make the rest of our life, what's left, the best of our life, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, yes, we as a mourning family should cast our care upon him, for he careth for us. But friends, what about you? It's okay sharing that information with a family. But what about your walk with God? What about the race that you're running? Not the person in front of you, not anybody beside you, not anyone behind you. What about your race? How are you running for God? Let's do something different in Hebron this morning. Let's take time with Judgment Day honesty to ask ourselves the question, would God be pleased with my personal performance today? Have I run my personal best for God in the life that I have lived for him? Or could there be far more that I can give my Savior? I'm not talking about finance. Folks, I'm talking about personal service. I'm talking about personal commitment, laying our lives on the altar for King Jesus. I just want to leave a few simple thoughts. And the first one's this. There's a race. And folks, it's already set. We read in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There is a road. There is a race that we must surely follow. When the undeserved and unmerited favor of God fell upon your life and mine, folks, when we were converted and saved by God's free and sovereign grace, God set before you and I a course that we were surely to follow. It's all providentially mapped out for your life and for mine in the great foreknowledge of the God of heaven. Every difficulty you and I will face in this life has all been designed by his great master plan, that he might push us on to the finishing post. The Lord reminded me as I considered this of my race. It began away back on the 23rd of July 1982 when I asked the Savior to come into my life. And I started to reflect as I was in the study how those days thrilled and blessed my soul when first I fell in love with him. Couldn't wait to get to the meetings. Couldn't wait to fellowship with the people of God. Couldn't wait to get before the throne of grace in the place of prayer. Couldn't wait to bury myself in the book. But maybe now we just don't have the same warmth. Sadly, maybe now we no longer have that same burden to get out amongst the people of God, to get to the place of prayer. No longer do we look for those doors, those open doors of opportunity, to share with others what great things the Lord hath done for us. Oh, could I ask myself the question? Could I ask you the question today? Where did it all go wrong? Why do we not have those same emotions, those same burdens, those same passions for the place of prayer? Friend, could it be that we have left our first love? Could it be that we're not in the place where we ought to be for him? We've been given a race to run in this generation. I wonder, what progress are we making? Began to think, you know, of my old pastor, the late, great Hillis Fleming. What a wonderful preacher he was. He was a missionary to the Congo for a number of years. What an influence in my life. What a testimony he had. What an impression he made on me as a young Christian. Remember Dr. Paisley? Times when I used to go as a young Christian to my bedroom and I would put on the old tapes. And we would listen to him speaking of the garments of Christ or the great cries of the cross. And there was a desire and a longing in my heart to serve him with not less than my all. Think of Dr. Kearns, a theologian of theologians, a man who had a great grasp of the Word of God, a great grasp of the Scriptures beyond measure. And his love for Christ could be seen in the life that he lived. Thought of the Reverend Ken Elliott. What an evangelist. How God richly blessed him in the mission here in Hebron many years ago. And what a blessing he was as a lecturer to our Bible students in the Whitfield College. But friends, they have all run their race. And they run it with passion and with enthusiasm and with motivation and with drive. They were not spectators in the race. They were participants. They led the way. They set the standard. And I began to wonder if the Lord were to call me home, as he's called these great and eminent men home, what would be my testimony? What would I have left behind for God? What impact or effect would my life have made upon the lives of others? Have I achieved anything in my run for him? And so it begs the question, doesn't it? How are we running today? Is the progress in our Christian run for God? Is our lives telling for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we making an impact for him? The race. But friends, what about the rules? The rules, they're already established. When the Lord saves us, and when we start running for him, there are certain rules that we must observe and obey. You see, the Lord has a great plan for your life and mine, putting you and me in the race in the first place. His desire is that we would run our personal best for him. But all too often, you know, as we get into the mundane things of life, the devil comes alongside us in that race. And he's there to distract us. How often have we been distracted in the service of the King? He's there to discourage us or to deflate us. He's there to denounce us at times. He's there to place doubt and division even amongst the brethren. You know, we read these words in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul, writing to the church at Caesarea Philippi, could say these words in verse 10, that I may know him. That was the great objective in Paul's life. He wanted to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Look what it says in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Watch this. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for the things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. You see, the devil wants us to get our thoughts, our attentions, our minds upon past failures, upon the past when we have fallen and foolishly fallen. But the Lord says, no, forget those things of the past and look for those things of the future and press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. He wants us to get our eyes upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sinless life, his atoning death, his bodily resurrection, his glorious ascension, his promise that one day he's coming to call his loved ones home. But how are we performing? I wonder, have we got winning ways in our life? Are we gaining any ground for the God of glory? Are we impacting on the lives of others? Or has the devil hold of the reins in your life and mine? And is he holding us back in relation to our progress? Paul says here in Hebrews, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Well, friends, we've all got that awful problem known as sin. We've said it before, it will take us further than we want to go. It will cost us more than we want to pay. It will keep us longer than we want to stay. You see, the nearer we get to the God of heaven in this race, the greater awareness we will have of sin in our own lives. Whenever I get a new Bible, I always turn to the flyleaf and I always print these words on the front page of my Bible. And it's this: this book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book. I wonder, can we look back over the years that we've been saved? Can we identify with some of these things? And do we draw the conclusion, I've not been running as I ought to have been for God? The Apostle Paul says, way back there in the book of Acts in chapter 20, verse 24, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy. There's the race. There's the rules of the race. But what about the run itself? Friends, it's already started for you and for me. Listen to the commentaries of the athletes and those that observe them. And you will hear how these athletes that serve our nation so well have trained tirelessly for the past 4 years. And yet, the race itself for them is a relatively short space of time. Oh, they've endured 4 years of hard labor and work and training, but for some of them, it's over in just a matter of seconds. Some of them perhaps set off from the blocks and they stumble and they fall immediately and that's it. It's all over. But watch their devotion. Watch their dedication, their determination as athletes Watch their discipline and note also their diet. How they watch everything that they do. The right balance of vitamins, the right balance of protein to get the best out of their body for this nation. And yet their prize is nothing more than a gold coin on a ribbon. Oh, if we fail in the field of service, then we only have ourselves to blame. What was it that William Cowper penned in that beautiful hymn of contrition? Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul's refreshing view of Jesus and his word? What peaceful hours. I once enjoyed, how sweet the memories still. But friends, they have left an aching void that my soul can never fill. And he concludes like this. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sin that made thee mourn and that drove thee from my breast. Are we running with patience the race that is set before us? Are we looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith? Remember, you and I are engaged in the ultimate race for God, and eternity is our eternal reward. The Lord wants participation. The Lord wants your application. And all the time, we're under his observation as he watches individually how we run for him. The race, it's already set for you and I. The rules, they're already established for you and I. The run, it's already started for you and I. And finally, the reward, friend, it's already settled. Paul here in this chapter is writing to the church, the Hebrew church. But one of his converts was a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy he considered to be his son in the faith. But even Paul could see that he was now nearing the end of the journey. His life's work on earth was almost done. And he writes to Timothy. And he says, Timothy, my race will soon be run. I want you to know this. I have fought a good fight. When I enrolled into the army of King Jesus, I have sought to serve him with not less than my all. And I've fought a good fight. Furthermore, I've finished the course, that race that he set before me, the road that I've run for him. I've fought the fight. I've finished the course. He says, I've kept the faith. I've been faithful to the blood and to the book. And because of all these things, there is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not to me only, but unto all those that wait for his appearing. You see, there was a crown, not a gold coin, a crown that one day would be collected by Paul, by the people of God, when we run the race for him. One of the greatest qualities, I suppose, of the New Testament church, and particularly of the fellowship here in Hebron, is that we are a missionary-minded church. You will remember the great explorer, Dr. David Livingstone, great missionary to the African nations. He went out there to explore and also to take the word of God to the dark continent. But the learning institutions of Oxford and Cambridge universities, they wrote to him and they offered him a big wage, great financial gain and reward if he would return to London and if he would become a lecturer in their universities. No consideration was given to this as far as Livingstone was concerned. And he turned down the kind offer of great wealth. But the day came when David Livingstone's race was run. He died out there in Africa, and his family contacted the African people and they requested that his body be returned. After some debate, the African people said, "We'll return his body, but we're going to take out his heart. Because we know, and you know, that his heart was always in Africa." And so they removed the heart, and so began the journey of David Livingstone's body back to his home nation of Great Britain. It was 9 months before it arrived back home. And it was brought through the streets of London. Do you know shopkeepers closed their shops for this missionary man? The people came out and they stood on the streets as his body was brought through the streets of London. The streets were crowded as a mark of respect. His body lies in Westminster Abbey to this day. And I visited his tombstone. But what many people don't know is that David Livingstone had a brother. His name was John. John was a very successful, a very eminent lawyer. He'd acquired great wealth and large properties and a great deal of land in his lifetime. He was brought up in the same home as David Livingstone, offered the same opportunities as Livingstone, went to the same places as Livingstone, but their lives took a different course. You know, death is no respecter of persons. And one day, John Livingstone's race was also drawing to an end. His family gathered around his bedside, and then one of his children said, "Father, what would you like us to put on your headstone when you've gone?" Without a moment's hesitation, John Livingstone sat up and said this: "Here lies the brother of David Livingstone." You see, John had realized that all the wealth that he'd gained in life, all the property, all the land that he had, it would all have to be left behind. And only what's done for Jesus will last. Friends, how are you doing in the race for the Savior? How is your personal performance today? Can you look back to a time when you run with far more vigor, with far more enthusiasm, with far more passion than you do right now? Or have you grown complacent and cold? And we're just really here this morning going through the motions and playing church. Paul says, Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And let us keep looking unto Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. Let us run that we might obtain. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these few simple thoughts. Those thoughts of the race and the run, the requirements that's in that race, the rules of the race, and the great reward that thou hast promised, a home that's in heaven. Do bless us in the closing moments of this service, we pray, for we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. Can we conclude with just a few verses of this great old gospel hymn, I'm pressing on the upward way. I wonder, is that the case? New heights I'm gaining every day. I wonder, is that the case? Still praying as I'm onward bound. Or would this be the prayer of our hearts? Lord, will you not plant my feet on higher ground? Because I want to run this race well for you.
Thank you.
if our committee members can remain behind for just a few brief moments after the service, we would be obliged. And also, if you can wait for the stewards to just direct you out of the building in a safe and proper manner. Let's pray. Father in heaven, lead us up and let us stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, will you plant my feet on higher ground and help us to run with patience that race that is set before us. Keep us looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, if there are any amongst us who are not even off the starting blocks for God, then speak to them today. Get them in the race. Enroll them in the King's army, we pray. Grant that it might please thee to engraft them into that true vine, that they might be born of the Spirit and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Part us and take us to our homes in safety, for we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen.